First, the old business.
Yes, I did, I had to use my imagination about the whole Ren Faire thing.
It kept popping up on my timeline.
See, the only thing I saw was Renaissance Festival posted their dress code, which is fine. I didn't think anything of it because Renaissance Festival has been doing the best they could to figure out this whole social distancing and mask thing and, you know, how to accommodate an outdoor event with the masks and the smokers and the non-smokers and the beer drinkers and the whole works, right? So they've been making posts about like, hey, we're going to be open this weekend, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course, then the comments go back.
Yeah, you always want to read the comments.
The comments are like, oh, I can't believe you're building, you know, this den of death.
I'll be there next year when you're safer and all this.
Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. This blood is on your hands. Like, oh my God, this is fun stuff to read. It's also the stupidest thing in the world. So then I saw them post their dress code, and I'm like, okay. This must be one of those things where somebody showed up in a mask and no pants or something, right? Because, I mean, if you've ever been to Renaissance Festival, for those of you who are not from here, there's two things the Renaissance Festival is known for, and it's turkey legs and boobs.
Yes.
There is a lot of unkempt cleavage out there.
Yes. And even visible with the chain mail with no liners and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So when they clamped down on bringing in outside beer, like you used to be able to bring in coolers and stuff. Now they really... So, anyway, just go look up Texas Renaissance Festival on Facebook. You'll get all you need to know. Well, that's what we were talking about before we went on the air.
Or message me for pics.
So how you been doing, man?
Not too bad, brother. Hanging in now. We're still, of course, getting ready for Halloween.
We got 10 days.
Yep.
So, yeah. Still,
I've got my costume. We got everything together. Everything is done with that. So,
I think we got everything. I think this is the first time we've ever been this prepared.
We had
time this year to like figure it out. But So this is episode 160. We are back in action. We figured out a couple of different ways, both in person and online, that we can actually get this situation fixed. So here we are. It is the 21st of October, 2020, the evil and dreaded 2020. And we're going to talk about some haunted house movies. But first,
the old business.
We're going to continue with the old business, but I just had to change it up because it keeps circling back around on me. And y'all don't want to, like, even if y'all weren't listening 4 years ago, maybe you're like, man, I've heard this before. So, you know how much we don't like remakes. So this time, October 21st, okay? Number one songs on October 21st. I only went to 1985 because then they started sucking.
Okay.
But if you were alive on October 21st in 1962, then the number one song on the radio would have been The Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett.
Classic Halloween song.
Mm-hmm. In 1965, it would have been Yesterday by the Beatles. And then in 1968, it would have been Hey Jude by the Beatles. But actually, and I missed one, because in 1970, I'll Be There by the Jackson 5.
Okay.
So, you know, you start seeing the Jacksons pop up. 1972. Remember My Ding-a-Ling by Chuck Berry?
Yes.
That was a number one hit on October.
It was crazy.
1973, Angie by the Rolling Stones. 1980, Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Every time I hear that song, I think of Junkyard Dog. JYD from Mid-South Wrestling. That was his jam, man.
1981. The Arthur theme by Christopher Cross. Remember that song? But when you get caught between the moon and New York. Dude, like, I remember when I was a kid, that movie was on just kind of like the same
way we talk about. It was always in rotation, yeah.
And I remember one time I watched that movie from beginning to end, and I still didn't quite understand, because I didn't understand alcoholism. I didn't understand depression. I didn't, like, dude, this guy's rich. Why is he such a... And it was supposed to be a comedy, and it was just sad.
Very
as
sad,
hell.
Yeah.
Like, I never quite understood. And maybe this is just one of those things, but, like, I always remember hearing Dudley Moore, and he was like, he was some classic comedian. And every time I ever saw him, he was depressing and sad. Like, he's not funny. Like, what?
What's funny is, could you imagine now making a comedy about depression?
Hold on one second. Yeah, right?
But, and, you know, I was watching the other day. I know you're going to remember this movie because this was always in rotation back in the day, too. But Fatso. Remember Fatso, Don DeLuise? Could you imagine making a movie now? Making a mockery of right. people's weight? You'd have social justice warriors on your ass, dude.
Big time.
But yeah, it was different times back then. Look at the song Short People by Randy Newman. Think about that for a second.
See, it's okay because he is short. All right, 1982. Little ditty about Jack and Diane. John Cougar, Mellencamp. Bastard. Was like, I don't know why, because, you know, like, Prince, you know, he changed his name. His real name was Prince. It seems like a stage name, but his real name was Prince. But then he got sideways with his record company, so he changed his name legally to something else. The record company says, no, you can't do that. We still own you. So he changed his name to the unpronounceable symbol. Everybody's like, he's so weird. No, he
no,
had
that was
really,
a big F you to he, the record company.
Right. He had a really good legal advice is what he had. And, you know, he probably struggled a lot trying to make that work. But it makes sense when you think about it. Late 80s, early 90s, John Cougar Mellencamp got hissy with people calling him by the name on his records. Because apparently the record company, he was John Mellencamp. And the record company said that he had to add something more down-to-earth, you know, car mechanic-y. So he added Cougar to it. So he's all pissed off. But instead of dropping the Cougar from his name first and saying that that was the... He dropped the Mellencamp, and he went by John Cougar for however long. Then he's like even more pissy, because then he went back to John Mellencamp, dropped the Cougar, and people were like, dude, what are you doing? Are you Prince? Like, you're a Canadian trying to be a Midwestern American with three different names that you're pissy that people are calling you because they're literally written on your record.
Yeah, they're right there.
Like, I just couldn't... I was just like, dude, that was not newsworthy. And I don't know why we're talking about it now. 1983, Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. And I gotta say that there's a special place in my heart for... Have you ever seen the video
for
that
movie? Yeah, I remember it.
It's like a strange vampire drama. Have you ever seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yes.
When he's gonna make his vampire
his puppet
show.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the video for, like, I love that song. She just gets so, like, dramatic. It's just like, it's so great. All right, 1984, Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You. I can't hear that song without hearing Jack Black go off that guy in High Fidelity. Where the dude's trying to, he's like, I want to buy this song for my daughter. He's like, nobody likes that song. He doesn't want to hear that. And in 1985, Aha, Take On Me.
That was a crazy video. That song, the video made that song. Everybody remembers that video from that song.
And I realized I stopped with number one hits 35 years ago, but pretty much after that, all those songs blow. And there's not even some kind of, like, you're like, oh, I can remember this whenever it was playing, whenever I was... No, it just sucks. If you want to know, just go look it up.
Okay.
It's lame. But yeah, that's what I've got for the old business.
Cool.
So
deal.
We'll take a break and come back.
Now it's time for the Pizza Head Show.
Hey, everybody! I'm done trick-or-treating, and now I'm going to go for a stuffed crust pizza at Pizza Hut. Yay!
Not yet, Pizza Head. There's one more place to go.
Well, I don't think anyone's home.
Sure there is.
Hello, trick-or-treat! Interesting hieroglyphics on this pizza.
Ah! Quick, Pizza Head, let's go upstairs.
Hey, who is here anyway?
It's your host, Count Steve.
Oh, nice place. You gotta go. Ah! I want to go to Pizza Hut now!
The Count will be happy to give you a lift.
Oh, hey!
See you next time.
They went to Cancun. We went to your brother's in Poughkeepsie.
This Halloween, find monster game pieces in Pepsi products and Doritos brand tortilla chips. The right match can win you thousands of prizes, up to $1 million.
The Baton of Obedience.
Look for specially marked packages. It could change your life for good.
You never take out the garbage.
Play Pepsi Doritos Monster Match for Monster Money.
Frank!
Here we are, back again. And Mr. Gomez, please.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, got some movie and television news today, which ought to be pretty interesting. But Michael Dougherty, known for directing Trick or Treat, is set to direct Clive Barker's Nightbreed series that's going to be coming to Amazon, or HBO, sorry. I'm looking forward to that. You know I'm a huge Nightbreed fan. I love the movie, and I'm an even bigger Clive Barker fan. And Clive Barker is definitely on board with it. He's excited. He was kind of, I remember reading Clive Barker was kind of disappointed in the film back in 1990. It's adapted from the novel Cabal. I can't wait to get back to Midian. I think it's going to be an awesome thing. And Barker has all kind of stuff on the, working up right now. Candyman reboot, of course, which is going to be coming out in 2021. And an anthology film for the Books of Blood, which is going to be on Hulu starting this month, as a matter of fact. So, one thing to look forward to. One thing that got kind of disappointing, I don't know if you saw I had posted about it, but Terrifier 2 will not be releasing this Halloween due to COVID delays. They decided to go ahead and push it back. So, looks like we're going to have to wait to see the return of Art the Clown, which I'm definitely looking forward to. As another, I was telling somebody again the other day, I hate that it took me so long to watch Terrifier because it's a great movie, man. So much fun. So much blood, great kills and everything. All right. There's a trailer floating around right now that I'm sure you've seen it. Have you seen the trailer for Fat Man yet?
No, I only started hearing about that like yesterday.
Dude, you have got to see it. Well, I don't want to spoil it for you then. I want you to see the trailer, so I'll wait till you see it. But everybody out there, if you get a chance, check out the trailer for Fat Man. It was nowhere on my radar at all. And when I saw the trailer, Walton Goggins is in it, Mel Gibson is in it. It looks like it's going to be a very interesting movie, needless to say. So definitely check out Fat Man. I want you to watch the trailer so we can talk about it a little bit. But
I did see, because I didn't get a chance to watch the trailer, but I did see people were all pissed off on Twitter that Mel Gibson is employed.
Yeah, like, of course.
I'm like, don't you forget that he's all these... I'm like, okay, look. There's this thing called redemption that... A lot of story arcs, like you like read, you know, you watch a movie like Pulp Fiction, for example. Jules going through that near-death experience and then changing from a cold-blooded killer to just going to become like, you know, Kane and Kung Fu and walk the earth. That's called redemption. It's one of those things where you are truly sorry for the way that you spoke and behaved in the past, and then you're trying to make amends for it in the future. Mel Gibson has tried and tried and tried. He's apologized. He's done all kinds of stuff. And everybody's like, no, you're still like this. Like, dude, the guy got thoroughly wasted. Got in a fight. And then got pulled over doing like 100 in a Lambo going down the Pacific Coast Highway. And he was so out of his mind wasted, he just spat off his mouth. I'm not making excuses for him at all. But it's been like 15 years. 20 years almost.
Right.
Let the man earn a living.
Yeah.
I mean, you let Victor Salva make movies. Why can't Mel Gibson make a movie?
Right. Because people have to have a cause to fight for, man. You know, you always have to have that one person. It never, ever, ever fails. You like Black Licorice?
Not enough to make it kill me.
So you heard about the man who died from eating a bag of Black Licorice every day. He had no heart problems. He got regular exercise. He was a construction worker. He, you know, then all of a sudden he collapsed at a McDonald's and died. Come to find out, it was probably the black licorice that he had been eating every day for a very, very long time, apparently. A 54-year-old man from Massachusetts had consumed 1 to 2 large bags of black licorice a day for 3 weeks. Caused his potassium levels to drop and brought on cardiac arrest. That is just insane. So if you're looking for a reason not to eat black licorice besides the taste of it, it can kill you.
That's one of those things, like that black licorice and black jelly beans, the flavor never bothered me.
Like, well, you know, what's weird is it never really bothered me. And then I drank ouzo with some Greek friends of mine.
Oh, that'll do it.
That's basically black licorice. So it's no big deal to me. Like it is to a lot of people.
Well, it tastes like anise. You know, it's a flavor.
But yeah, I remember being a kid and like jelly beans. You know, I didn't even make them. Like jelly beans aren't bad.
They're not bad. Like a sour candy. You know, people eat the shit out of that. And... All right. Another shark story. I know we had one last week. I know you like sharks, so I'm always looking for a good shark story.
I'm down for a shark story.
First time ever caught alive off the coast of Britain. A rare albino shark. How cool is that? If you get a chance, check it out. It's not a true albino where the eyes are red, but it has absolutely no color at all on its body. Jason Gillespie, 50 years old, he was deep sea fishing with some friends. Caught a tope shark that was entirely white. Now, normally, he says tope sharks are protected. Normally, they go ahead and if they catch a shark, they release it in the water. But because this one was pretty rare, he did pull it out. He says it was only out of the water for maybe less than a minute. Just to snap a couple of pics real quick. It was 3 feet long. It had a genetic condition, which means it's lost all of its pigment in its skin. That's pretty amazing. And normally you don't find these things, of course, because they get eaten because they don't have their protective color to them.
Right.
Same thing with albino alligators and stuff. So I thought that was a cool little story.
That is super cool.
Okay, now I got one for you. And I forgot to put this one on my computer, so we'll read it from here. You're going to love this, dude. Okay, corrections officers in... Where were they at? In Oklahoma. Okay. The three corrections officers were charged with a misdemeanor. Conspiracy and multiple counts of cruelty to an inmate. Okay. As alleged in court records, former jailers Christian Miles and Gregory Butler, both 21, and Christopher Hendershot, a 50-year-old lieutenant, abused 4 male inmates by handcuffing them to a wall in a standing position for extended periods of time, while at the same time playing music very loudly. Okay, so they considered that pretty much torture. Alleged cruelty occurred late last year at the county lockup. What they would do is they place an inmate in an attorney visiting room, take all the furniture out, handcuff him to the wall, make him stand up, and go in the other room and with the computer play this horrible, horrible song that would cause cruelty to the inmates. Baby Shark would be played in a continuous loop from a computer adjacent to the visitation. They would make them listen to Baby Shark while handcuffed to the wall for hours at a time. And they are now going to be going to jail for it, which I thought was really, really interesting. I've only, you know, my kids aren't very young. So when Baby Shark came out, my kids didn't listen to this stuff. I've heard it, but I've never really listened to it.
Well, I'm the same way. Like, I don't know. Well, here's the thing. We don't watch TV here. Like... We own one, but it's Netflix or whatever, and I'm not a big fan of TV anyway, so any opportunity that I can punish my kids and restrict them from TV, then I take it. No TV. So TV's off, radio, like terrestrial radio, I haven't heard that in years. So I've kind of cut off from the outside world. I heard people bitching about Baby Shark, and I didn't know what the hell it was. And one day my kid comes home and she's sitting at the kitchen table and we're eating dinner and she sings the Baby Shark song. You know, the Baby Shark, only there's no context. There's no background. There's no social media hatred for this cute little girl singing a cute little song. It's like But then I realized what it was. I understood. So, like, I'd hear it out in the world. We'd go to the store, and I'd start seeing the wrapping paper and the plush toys and the toys that you push the button and sing the song. And then there's videos, and then it's just like, I can see why it would get on you real fast. But thank God.
We avoided that. But that's what I got for new business today, but...
All right, let's take a break and come back.
Ready? Go!
Peanut butter. Chocolate.
Here it comes. You missed. Faster. Get away. Oh. Your peanut butter hit my chocolate. Your chocolate hit my peanut butter.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Real milk chocolate, delicious peanut butter. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Reese's? Yeah.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Look out.
because this Halloween, Toys R Us is your Halloween headquarters. You'll find every trick or treat under the moon, a monstrous selection of costumes, and a dungeon full of decorations at prices so low, you'll howl. So this Halloween, bring the entire family to Toys R Us for a Halloween selection so huge, it's scary.
All right, you ready to talk about some haunted houses?
Let's do that. Before we start, I want to ask you a question.
What you got?
Okay, so, you know, when I go to do my research and everything and I find stuff, I always pull up a list to see what other people are saying. To me, when I was thinking haunted house movies, I was thinking of movies where you're affected when you're in this house. That it is possible to get away from things by leaving the house. Would you agree with that? And the reason I'm asking is I saw movies like Evil Dead on the list about haunted houses. I didn't totally agree with that.
I think there can be cases made. Evil Dead is one of those that crosses weird. Like, I've seen Evil Dead listed in zombie movies.
Yeah.
And no. Because first of all, well, most of the time in Evil Dead, they're demons.
It's possessions.
It's possessions. But then also, the demons leave and then the people come back. Like, whenever they're messing with people, so they possess them for a while and then they let their own personality come mm-hmm. through. So they're not even really dead. So they're not zombies.
Right.
I mean, they get dead later, but Evil Dead's one of those. And plus, it's not the house that's haunted. It's they speak the words to summon the demons.
And the demons come. Right. And so the demons can go outside after them. They can go all over the place.
That would have happened anywhere. So it wasn't just the house specifically. So the Evil Dead, for example. But like Poltergeist. They couldn't leave. I mean, the house got destroyed and it followed them. So, you know, it's an entity. So I think you certainly have your... But it's a haunting. It's not necessarily... Because I saw some that's like, oh, we can't do The Shining because that's a hotel. It's like, well...
But the spirits live...
Inside the structure.
Yeah.
They're tied to the structure and... So, no, that's what I'm saying is...
Because I got one that I found on a list, actually, that I totally agree with, actually. And then it falls into that same category as The Shining, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
So, yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not that stuck on the details.
I was just curious, like I said, because I saw that and I was like, I don't know if I would put Evil Dead there.
I wouldn't put Evil Dead because it doesn't check any of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to be inside of a house as it happens.
Yeah.
But... For that the case, you could call American Werewolf in London a haunted house because most of the time, like when he changes, he's in an apartment.
Right.
But he's not. It's not the apartment that does it. It's right. So, I don't know. I just wrote down a bunch.
Well, let's go over your list. We'll work on that.
Probably one of the more modern ones that sparked a series was The Conjuring.
Yes.
That's one of those good ones because the house itself is haunted.
Yeah.
Everything
is tied to that house.
Yeah. And... I really enjoyed that movie right up until the very end whenever it turned into The Exorcist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that whole movie was creepy. It had the perfect atmosphere.
Lighting was great.
The light, sound was the great. The texture, the acting. You know, everything was great about it. And the little clapping game. The little... Get you. You know? So, The Conjuring is great. Like, I enjoyed The Conjuring. I haven't seen any of the sequels. But the first one was awesome. I think one of my most seminal, you know, the reason I like horror so much, or the reasons I'm into it, is because of Poltergeist.
Yes, that's like top of my list. That's, we've talked before, you know, that's where we got Afraid of Clowns, was that mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah. Pennywise got nothing on that little dude sitting on the chair, right? And, again, because... It's not a gothic mansion. It's not 200 years old. It's a brand new house.
It's a house in our subdivision.
It's a brand new housing development. It's a brand new house. So there should be nothing wrong with it, right? So they can't really trace it back. It's like, oh, somebody died here. They were the first owner. Like, they just moved in. And I think if the whole rest of the subdivision, like, parts of it haven't even been built yet. It's right. That new. And so... That's what's so creepy about it, is because then there you go.
The movie's so well done, man. I love Poltergeist so much. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's cool how they set you up for it, too, because at first it looks like it's going to be fun. Putting the daughter on the floor in the kitchen, and she's putting the football helmet on, and it looks like it's going to be a cute little movie, and then it gets you.
Yeah, it goes the other direction. One that I watched just recently. I don't know. What you got?
No. Go ahead.
No, you're taking Poltergeist. I mean, I got a list. You got a list. Let's roll
with it. The other one I was going to go with, of course, is one of the classics. I have a huge list right here, and I just put some of the main ones right here that I absolutely love with Amityville. Personally, I prefer the second one, but they are both absolutely great. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He's like, I just realized that Thanos' dad is in the first Amityville movie. I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. Josh Brolin.
It's James Brolin.
James Brolin, yeah. Josh's dad. So yeah,
Thanos was in the Goonies.
Yeah, yeah. No, but he said he just realized that that's who that was in that movie. The Amityville movies are great, especially it has that tie-in when you're young, based on the true story, kind of freaks you out. That's a great, great example. Yes. That house, the house is what everything is.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned it last week, you know, the Blumhouse, but Insidious.
Yes.
Good movie. I mean, it's a good series. Always kind of, I mean, it wasn't as awesome to me, I think, as a lot of other people, because it just has that same kind of color as The Grudge and mm-hmm. some of those others. It kind of just kind of... I didn't think it sucked, but I didn't think it was as good as everybody else thought it was. Mm-hmm. It was, all right. But, I'll kick it back in time a little bit. My next best one would be Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is a perfect film.
Yeah.
From start to, you know, it's got the perfect mix of comedy. It's like an entry-level horror. It's got gore. It's got a few legit scares. It's got some dread. You know, it's got bizarreness that's kind of unsettling. Like, you know, mid-level horror and then also kind of a mid-level comedy. Mm-hmm. You put those together and you've got high-level art. You know, it is an amazing film. And Beetlejuice, if you want a haunted house movie that, I mean, it's a little light on the horror, but it's got enough to keep you,
well, you know,
interested.
We were talking last week about how, you know, these Facebook groups are driving me crazy. I'm just everything I can to bite my tongue sometimes. And there was an argument of the day about Beetlejuice not being a horror movie. And I just didn't even bother getting into it. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. There was another thread, which, sorry to get off topic. You know, I always do.
That's what we
do. Sidebars. There was the question whether or not Rocky Horror Picture Show was a horror movie. And my argument was, does it utilize horror tropes?
It's in the title.
But no, the argument was, it's a musical. It is not a horror movie. I was like, that doesn't mean shit.
What about Little Shop of Horrors?
That's another one that they would not consider. But there was an argument that Beetlejuice is not a horror movie. It's a comedy. I'm like, it utilizes horror tropes. You got to realize that horror is a broad category. Horror doesn't have to be bloody and scary. You know?
That's the thing. We talked about it in one of our earlier episodes. It's all subjective. But like, would I let my kid watch Beetlejuice right now? No. And is it, why wouldn't I let my kid watch Beetlejuice? Is it because it's too funny? Or because it's too scary?
Right.
Boom. Set and match. There you go. Beetlejuice it's a horror comedy, but it is a ghost story in a haunted house that happens to dead people in the afterlife, right? Like,
I'm Beetlejuice
for Halloween. She is. You know, we watched Little Shop of Horrors the other day. Like, yeah, it's not scary, but it's certainly, like, got some, it's got some murders in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got a
monster plant.
Monster plant.
It's a cannibal. It's
a cannibal plant that's going to take over the world. You know, and just because Rick Moranis is in it, Steve Martin, that was awesome. But,
you know, speaking of entries for children into horror, I told my son that we were doing this episode, and there are two movies that he said, if you're talking about that, you need to talk about these two movies, because he loved them when he was a kid. One is Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, which mm-hmm. I never really cared for, but he absolutely loved that movie. That movie scared him when he was a kid, mm-hmm. you know. And the other one is the cartoon Monster House.
That's an awesome movie.
That's a really, really good movie. That's one that I enjoy. That is a horror movie. It is definitely a haunted house movie.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely belongs in this category for sure. But yeah, Monster House is great.
Yeah, I think we need to watch that this weekend. We'll pull it up. I saw
it's for the season, man.
Yeah, it's the season. I got the kids. Here's one that I've really enjoyed, but it's kind of off the radar. But have you ever seen Stir of Echoes?
Yes. Yeah.
With Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, it's a really good one.
It's a really good one. And I remember, like, I still even have scenes of that movie popping up, and I have to remember, like, what is that from? But mm-hmm. yeah, that's one of those that just never quite went away. Like, it's not a one and done. It's one that you should definitely watch,
right.
you know, experience. Have you seen
the most beautiful girl?
The Woman in Black.
I think I may have, but I'm not sure.
It's got Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter in it. That was one of those, I went and saw it with my sister. That was another one that was unexpectedly good. Mostly because of the atmosphere and the environment. So, basically, Daniel Radcliffe, he's a young attorney. He's being asked to go, like, settle the estate of this house off, you know, out in kind of the boondocks. And the place is haunted by the ghost of this woman who lost her child and whatnot. And as he's digging deeper into kind of the history or whatever, it's just... It's sad. It's kind of like a La Llorona sort of story where this uh-huh. woman like lost her child and then she cursed the family and all this stuff. But the atmosphere of this film is just amazing.
Okay.
Like it's like Sleepy Hollow / like Scooby-Doo, like where you've got like the low light and the dust and the weird toys. And it's just, I mean, it's just, but it's not creepy. It's not like dreadful as much as it's spooky. Like, there's things hiding in the shadows. Very Hill House-y. So, I highly recommend it. Because it was an unexpected treat. It was really good.
Cool.
Sometimes I come out of horror movies and I'm like, I could have spent my time watching something better than that. But this one, I was like, alright, I like that. So, definitely check out Woman in Black.
Okay.
What's your next one?
Oh, one that we definitely need to talk about is, of course, House. From the 80s with William Catt. That movie has a tremendous cult following. People love the House movies. I've always enjoyed them. They haven't been the scariest movies, of course, but they've done very well. I love the special effects. The story's mm-hmm. great. And like I said, of course, the first one, William Catt is in it. And you know how much I love him. Mm-hmm. He's just the greatest American hero, dude.
Of course. Yeah, but like House 3 went off the rails a little bit. But,
yeah.
But House 1 and 2 are
those
awesome.
Those are good. Okay, another one that I absolutely love is, and let me know if you feel as though this would fall into the category, because it was created, this haunted house was created by somebody, but 13 Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
13 Ghosts is phenomenal, dude.
Both of them are good.
It's such
the
a good
original,
one.
The original one's yeah. awesome, and the remake's pretty good, too. The remake took a while to kind of come into its own.
It took me a while to give it a chance, because when I first saw it, you know, what's his name was in it? God, I can't remember his name.
Matthew Lillard?
Yeah, Lillard's in it. And, you know, I believe that came out after he was in Scooby-Doo. So I see 13 Ghosts. I honestly thought it was a PG-13 movie. And that was during my time period where I wasn't watching any PG-13 movies because I just didn't want to be disappointed. And once I finally gave that movie a chance, man, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It is really, really good.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that one. Again, that was one of those, that, like just like you said, I love Matthew Lillard. I mean... He's been a lot of stuff, but I don't think Scream gets enough credit because Scream had the dual bad guys. But Matthew Lillard is one of the all-time masked killers.
Yeah,
you don't think of him like that because he was Shaggy,
right?
Right, and he was in Hackers, and he's primarily a comedian. He's a comic actor, but Ghostface, Matthew Lillard,
right?
At least half of his kills were anyway.
Yeah,
you know, and. That's pretty badass. But yeah, same thing. Like when 13 Ghosts came out, I thought it was a comedy. It's not a comedy.
No, it's a good movie.
It's a good scary movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah. In another case, we already talked about The Shining. You know, Shining definitely falls in that category, even though it's a hotel, whatever they want to say, but it's a haunted structure.
Mm-hmm.
And on that lines, Event Horizon.
Yes. Well, and the thing about Event Horizon, if you read anything about it, it was like they were like, let's put The Shining in space.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and what the critters in Event Horizon are a whole lot meaner than the ones in The Shining, for sure. But, it's weird because you're talking about these horror groups. And again, I don't, like, keep going back to this. Like, just enjoy things, right? Like, I am thrilled when I watch a movie that's so good that I want to, like, call you or text you and be like, dude, watch this because it's awesome. When I watch something that sucks and I don't tell you about it, it's because it sucks and I wasted my time and I'm not going to bitch about it. So, like, I don't understand why people, like, sit around like, it's fun for me to not like stuff. I just read this 400-page book. Hated it. It's like, why did you spend the time reading it if it sucked? You know what I mean?
But for some reason in these groups, people feel as though they have to be the gatekeeper of other people's enjoyment. And you don't have to do that.
Event Horizon, we've talked about this one before. But Event Horizon, people love, like, quote-unquote horror fans, love to dump on this one. Because people who aren't horror fans saw Event Horizon and they think it's the scariest thing in the world. And they're like, oh, you know, it's like, it's amateur hour, right? Because everybody's going to mention Event Horizon in their list of scary movies. But I'm sorry, I've seen movies that are scarier than Event Horizon, but Event Horizon did not market itself as a horror film.
Yeah.
It marketed itself as a Sam Neill, Lawrence Fishburne sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
In the 90s, when there was lots of Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne movies out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember, because I remember watching a thing, and it's like, okay, the ship gets lost, and then, you know, there's some crazy stuff. So it seemed like it was almost like a mystery. Not what it turned into. And I went into that movie having no idea what I was getting into. And I remember because me and my buddy were, like, all into heavy metal, and, like, we're listening to, like, Sepultura and stuff like that. And we watched Event Horizon, and it was like watching a messed up music video. And we were pausing and like, whoa, did you see it? But the movie was shockingly scary.
Yeah.
It was cut in such a way that it just hit you with different stuff, like, completely unexpectedly. And it was also creepy as all hell. Jason and I came out of watching that film being like, what did we just watch? That is, like, the scariest movie I've ever seen. That is, like, Hellraiser and The Shining put together and had a baby. And Hellraiser and The Shining are two of the best horror movies ever.
Yeah.
So what did we just see? This is amazing. So I can't understand how anybody would say, like, oh, if you like Event Horizon, you're an amateur. Because, no, Event Horizon's freaking awesome.
It's a great movie.
You know, like, so.
And just like The Thing, it follows that that formula of just, it's dread. It does not end good. it's not a happy movie.
So, yeah, but I'm all for, like, they keep talking about maybe one day, hopefully, finding the lost footage, because apparently that clip scene of the original crew was a lot longer, right, and they had to cut it. But yeah, that would be awesome.
I've still been looking at it. You know, I do my models and everything. There is a Event Horizon model available that's like 3 foot long, but it's not cheap. There's a guy that makes them with his 3D printer. And then he makes them in 4 different segments to put them together and then paint and everything. But yeah, that movie is so high on my list, man.
It's not a haunted house, but it doesn't matter.
It's a haunted structure, for sure.
If you need a good scary movie, watch Event Horizon.
So what else you got?
Well, I just gave you Oculus. Have you seen
that
yet? So no. You probably haven't seen that yet because I just handed it to you a second ago. Oculus, I heard good things about it, and it is Mike Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't follow the directors, whatever, Mike Flanagan is responsible for The Haunting of Hill House, the TV series. It was on Netflix. It's and by now, on the 21st, yeah, so then The Haunting of Bly Manor is out as well. But Mike Flanagan, Oculus is one of his first movies, and the story in Oculus is that there's this brother and a sister. The parents are gone. The brother is getting out of the mental institution, and the sister is like an antiques curator, and she has this mirror. And the mirror is what caused her family to go insane, and the brother to kill the mom and the dad and go to jail. And so she wants to destroy the mirror because she believes it's haunted, and the guy does not believe it's haunted. He thinks that he had a psychotic break. So it's them in a house with a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing. It's like those minimalist movies that you just... It's like The Shining, for example. What is the scariest scene in The Shining? Is it when the woman comes out of the bathtub? Maybe. But you know what the second scene is? Whenever he's riding his little three-wheeler down the hallways and then the ball comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, where did the ball come from? There's things behind these doors and you're left with your own imagination. That's what makes it scary. Oculus is one of those. It just has those moments where it's just... Yeah. It's good stuff.
What you got next?
Others.
Yeah.
That's one that I think falls off radar because it is a top-tiered movie star in it. But The Others is great. That's another one of those with the unexpected ending. Creep factor pushed all the way up to 10. You know, paranoia, just crazy mom, messed up children, strange house, you know, servants, and everything's always just foggy and wet and dreary, and it's just that perfect, like, dark winter movie that you need to see.
Right. Know? Well, one of the big ones, which we talked about last week, of course, would be the Paranormal Activity series, which, mm-hmm. as we said last week, is so well done. $15,000 to scare the crap out of the entire country.
Yeah, Paranormal Activity is good, man. Like that's why whenever we're looking at this list of movies, and we've only got a couple more left. You know, we've only got a few minutes left in the show, but like I've seen all of these movies, so that's whenever there's a new movie and somebody's like, "Hey, you need to watch this movie," and I'm like, "Okay, but 13 Ghosts is on."
Yeah, dude, I keep my son gives me shit all the time because I keep rewatching movies that he knows that I've seen before. I'm like, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's like getting an old blanket that you're really comfortable in and just relaxing with it.
Well, like for the other podcasts, you know, it's like it's always fun because we're watching an older movie like Karate Kid or something like that. So. With horror, it's hard because you're like, here's all these new stuff. And you're like, maybe we can just talk about like, Evil Dead or something. That even got me on the last episode. He's like, oh, have you seen the Evil Dead reboot? And I'm like, nope. He's like, oh, you should. And I'm like, okay, well, you're the biggest Evil Dead fan in the world, so
give it a chance.
I'll go ahead and give it a chance. But yeah, the whole concept of like, oh, we took something that was awesome and perfect and tried to do it again. And I'm like,
I'll pass. Hard pass.
Maybe not. It depends on who's recommending it. But, and then, you know, in that same one with The Shining, 1408. Yes. 1408 was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Hotels.
I've only seen it once, I'll be honest with you, but I remember enjoying it.
Hotels have always, like, intrigued me, like, especially, like, in old hotels. I remember the first time, I was not very old. But the first time I went to Chicago for a work trip, and they put us up in this older hotel, and it was the first time I'd ever experienced the windows that had been sealed shut because people would jump out of them or fall out of them or whatever. So it was just like, but the original windows were there, but they like had sealed them up so that you could look out of them, but you can't
open it,
you know. But I was just like, okay, so you were like, we're 13 floors up or 15 floors up or whatever, and all you had to do was like unhook the, just like push the thing, and then you just got infinity below you. So if you're just upset, you can imagine how annoying that would be in a city ruled by the mob.
Ooh,
how
yeah.
often people would just
fall out of windows.
So, but yeah, you know, hotels have always intrigued me, like what goes on in hotels. For the most part, people come in and they take a shower and go to sleep and wake up. Some people go there and never check out.
Right.
You know? And hotels have a lot of stories to tell. So even though it's not technically a haunted house movie, it's still...
It's
haunted.
It's haunted, yeah. Definitely.
And that's what about I got.
Me too. Those are the ones that I definitely wanted to go over with today. So, and there's plenty more that I haven't seen. I know that there are. But yeah, those are just the ones that immediately come to mind as the better haunted house movies that everybody should have seen.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, awesome, man. Well, by this time next week, we'll be like just right before Halloween.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a Halloween episode. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out. Are you ready to sing your part? And we will see you next week.
Later.
Baby shark, doo 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 doo. Baby shark, doo 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 doo. Baby shark.